It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning and welcome to Money Matters here. Wow, beautiful. It is beautiful today. Let's call it a 10 on the Mellish meter. It is a 10 on the Mellish meter. It looks like it's going to stay that way for a while. So sunny today. Doesn't look like there's going to be a cloud, really many clouds in the sky. So a beautiful Sunday, high of 64. Tomorrow, high of 67. Of course, brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Another decent week in the stock market. But let's talk about all the things that are scary in the world that continue to bombard me as I read through financial media. So I'm a huge consumer, of course, of the news and research, which are two very different things, by the way. News is salacious. Research is supposed to be objective. So I subscribe to newspapers, and I certainly have, of course, cable and satellite, and I listen to financial shows, but it's very different than research. If you're buying research from a company, you should be getting research from a company that's objective, that doesn't have they're not trying to sell headlines. They're trying to help you understand the world that we live in. And it's a difficult world that we live in, by the way. And not to scare you, but I've heard a lot lately about Ted Koppel's book, which is, again, a scary title. And if you look that up on Amazon, you'll see that the title of the book is Lights Out, a Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared. It's a number one bestseller on Amazon. Surviving the Aftermath, scary. And then there's these Bill Bonner ads. He is the guy that's talking about all the ATMs freezing, the end of American financial system. You go to the ATM, money doesn't come out. Banks that now they own your money at some point and they're going to confiscate it. So if you think about this. So the power goes out, cyber attack, you've got bread lines, you get no clean water, the ATMs don't work. Everything just stops working. Financial system's frozen. There's an article, one of the articles that I read this weekend, Bracing for Bedlam. Bedlam is chaos. And that's what we continue to get bombarded about. And I'm going to make a prediction here. Oh, and by the way, scary week and all this scary stuff I'm talking about. Super Tuesday, Dow was up 348 points. For the week, Dow up 362 points. Dow for the week up 2.2%. S&P 500 up 2.7%. That's the third consecutive week that the world hasn't ended. 3 weeks in a row, the world still hasn't ended. It's amazing. Year to date, down the S&P, even though we were down really substantially in January and early February. It felt like a meltdown. Remember January and February, every day, market down, oil down further, market down, oil down. And the cycle, this virtuous negative cycle, kept getting worse and worse and worse. And now here we are with a three-week repair, and we're only down 2.5% for the year. So my prediction is that the financial media will become even more salacious. It's going to get way worse. It's going to get way scarier. So a couple of thoughts on why. So Trump, first of all, he has brought a brand new sense, a fresh skin of political incorrectness into the vanguard. So if the GOP front runner can do it, so can anybody. Hey, my kids are even getting more salacious because of Donald Trump. So now journalism and just media in general, and even more so financial media, has to get more and more scary. It's got to. So my prediction is that it's going to get really scary in the media, at least. It's got to get more and more potent. So think about superbugs. You've been hearing about this. you hear about these super bugs. In fact, there's a really popular book that now antibiotics are less effective because bugs have mutated and evolved to work their way around medicine so that antibiotics don't work anymore. And this is a very real thing. So they adapt, they evolve so that no longer our medicine works. So we have to develop new medicine that's even stronger to kill the superbugs. So like superbugs that get stronger, the longer they fight against the antibiotics or whatever treats them, the media and fear mongers are going to have to find new and creative ways to put the fear of God into you. The more the world gets used to general gloom, the more doom has to get conjured up to make any impact, or else it's just another gloomy story, no big deal. So things are going to get scarier no matter what happens, no matter how good things are underneath the surface, no matter how good our economy gets, the media is going to get scarier and scarier. So and this is a big business, by the way, the business of peddling fear is going to get bigger and badder, and it'll make it even more, and here's the impact to you. It makes it even more difficult for you, all of us, you and me as investors. And I think especially the younger generation, if you are a generation, I read something this week that talked about how, hey, it's going to be really tough for millennials as they grow up and they get into their 30s or they get into their 40s and they've never really, they haven't necessarily seen a good economy. They've mostly been in a crappy economy and a stock market that has been a seesaw. So they've seen it go up and then they've seen it crash and they've seen it go up. They've seen it crash. They've heard their parents complain about the economy and they complain about the stock market. So the general tone of the world, particularly if you're an investor, is that, man, this is tough. It's a hard world we live in. Don't put your money in the stock market. You're just going to lose it. So the younger generation, I believe, unfortunately, is trained to not really want to be an investor. And that is a very, very damaging thing over the long term. And it might not manifest itself in the next, it might take 10 years or 20 or 30 years for that to manifest, but it would be a shame if a younger generation just kind of skips out on being an investor because they grew up thinking, the market just really doesn't do a whole lot. If it goes up, it just comes back down later. Warren Buffett this week had his letter to shareholders, and he said in the letter, and if you had to cherry pick the coolest quote out of the whole group, Warren Buffett said, for the last 240 years, it's been a terrible mistake to bet against America, and now is no time to start. So the last portion of history has been rocky. But it doesn't mean it's been a bad place to be. And even in this rocky period, if you've been an investor, and even a plain vanilla investor, large cap, dividend paying stocks, you know, let's not get complicated here. You've made a lot of money, particularly in the last 7 years worth of market repair. Remember, we got down to about Dow 6500, Dow 6600. Today, we're not at the peak of where we were in May of last year at 18,300, but we're back to about 17,000. We're about 17,000 on the nose for the Dow. That's a long way from 6,500. That's over. Just do the math. I don't think that's hard math. That's 10,000 Dow points. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of return. But it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been without some scary weeks and scary months. And that's just part of the game, though. That's part of being an investor. And I think that Warren Buffett reminds us that when he says, look, hey, for 240 years, it's been a really bad idea to bet against America. So why would you start now? It's going to get more difficult for you and me as investors. Well, not me, because I understand the fear-mongering that goes on around the world, and that's fine. And that's part of the game. And I think there's actually an advantage for those of you listening today, because you understand the market, you're probably already an investor. You're not going to waste your time on a Sunday morning listening to a money show, for goodness sakes. So you already understand investing to some degree. Now all of this fear and this peddling and this confusion becomes an advantage for you. It's an advantage for you and me because we understand the system, or at least we understand history a little bit. And that's my thought and my messaging today. There is a lot happening in the world, and I want to talk about politics, because we're in the middle of a unbelievably interesting race. I mean, the Democratic side is that's the media is trying to keep that story alive. There's no story. It's just Hillary. That's it. So they can make it seem like Bernie Sanders could come back and he might win something in Guam or who knows. But it doesn't matter. It's Hillary and that's it. On the Republican side, is it Trump? Is it Cruz after yesterday with two wins apiece? Is it a Trump-Kasich ticket? Does Trump finally say, you know, he's going to come in and run the country for a couple years as a CEO and then bring in somebody who actually has a level head and knows what has been there and done that and seems like a rational human being and John Kasich? Maybe put them together and that could very well be a winning ticket. Let them balance each other out. But it's a fascinating race. And the impact of politics on our economy, there's obviously some impact. For years, I've said it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It's not going to change the tide of America. You can't give the president credit or blame the president in any given year or 4 years of what they did for the economy. But there is a real linkage between Washington and Wall Street when it comes to individual companies and how they work the system and how they position themselves to take advantage of law legally. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. So there's a lot to cover today here on Money Matters. And of course, your phone calls. So we're here in the studio to talk together, not just to me drone on for 2 hours. So if you have a question about, call it a pension or a lump sum question or a Social Security question, or an annuity or a product question. Maybe it's an exchange traded fund ETF. Maybe it's just an allocation question. I've gotten a lot of questions about particular investments. Hey, this fund, Wes, isn't doing well. What's happening? Should I hold it? Should I keep it? Maybe it's just something you're invested in that you're worried about. Or there's a financial decision that's just weighing on you. Or it's just the economy. Or there's the cost of something. Or you're a small business owner and you're talking about, hey, how do I save money as a business owner in a retirement plan? The phone lines are open. So 404-872-0750, the number in the studio again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You are listening to Money Matters. More straight ahead right here on WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. It's 10 on the Mellish meter today. We've got a lot of calls on hold here. Let's try to get started. Ryan, where are we headed first? You just tell me and I'll go there. We're going to line three. I guess this is Tom in Smyrna. Hey, Tom, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
Question. I am 67.
Yes.
Wife 68. I am still working. We have a special needs daughter. And I was calling to see if it would be beneficial for her to start taking Social Security. Two things. She takes Social Security. My daughter will receive $700 a month additional, and I will receive $700 a month. But I'm worried about the tax problems, and we do not need the money.
You don't need the money at all. And so she's not already taking Social Security disability at this point?
My daughter is.
Oh, she is.
My daughter gets SSI.
She does. Okay, so this is really, do you start taking your Social Security?
No, it's my wife started taking her Social Security. My wife's retired. I'm still working.
You're still working and she's retired. And then let's talk about your tax bracket. What bracket do you think you guys are in right now?
We're up there around 170.
Well, so the decision with Social Security is almost always, and in your case here too, Tom, and your wife's case, it's very much about money today versus slightly more money tomorrow. So it's really just math about how long you live. That is the key variable. And I'm a believer in trying to wait a little bit past your NRA, your normal retirement age. It sounds like your wife's already done that if she's already 67. Yeah, you guys are in a pretty high tax bracket right now, but it to me, if you've already waited past the 66 mark, it's not a bad idea to go ahead and start taking it. I like that you're already waiting, and because you're already working, it sounds like you're going to delay this to 69, maybe even 70. So yeah. A lot of time, from my experience, the answer in these financial planning questions has to do with splitting the difference. And splitting the difference here would be you continue to wait, but your wife starts taking it, which is a nice compromise between the two. You're listening to Money Matters.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Miller's weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Well, yes, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. A lot of great calls on hold. We're going to get to them almost immediately. 404-872-0750. It's a 10 on the Mellish meter today. Sunday, high 64. Tomorrow, it looks like it might even warm up a little bit. Weather here, of course, brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Good morning. You've tuned in to Money Matters. We're going to get to the phones here. By the way, I've started to finally take Facebook seriously. And when I say seriously, meaning I the stories that you're going to see on my Facebook page today are going to be maybe even a little less serious. Because I've learned on Facebook, when it comes to delivering content, it can't just be the nuts and bolts of investing. It's got to be interesting stuff. And it's got to relate back to money. So you're going to see better stories. At least I'm going to try in the next month to have more engaging stories that people actually care about on my Facebook page. So if you go to Wes Moss Money Matters, and over 5,000 people have done that and liked it, and I barely ever even talk about Facebook. So I've got a little bit of a start. We've got a nucleus. If you're a Facebook purveyor of Wes Moss Money Matters, thank you, by the way. And I want to build that and really start delivering wonderful content. The most popular story that I have on Facebook the last two or three days has to do with finding your dream vacation home on the beach. So it's a story about beach towns, many of them in the Southeast and the East Coast and the Gulf, that have the highest number of foreclosures. So there's still a lot of distressed properties at the beach. I just met with a family this week where they bought back in mid-2000s, and the price today for this wonderful, beautiful beachfront property on the Gulf, place that you would pay thousands of dollars for per week to rent, is still way underwater from what they bought it. And that's just the reality of the beach. So there's still foreclosures. There's still people underwater. And this is a cool article that says, look, here are the 10 top cities to potentially find a great deal on housing. If you want to get down to the beach, get down to the Gulf. I personally still like Michigan in the summer because I want it to be cooler than hotter. But we all want to, not all of us, but a lot of us want to get down to the beach in some way. And we want to be able to aspire to that, but do it affordably. You're going to see more stories like that on Wes Moss Money Matters, our Facebook page. So check that out. Like it. Do whatever you need to do on it so that you're in tune. All right, let's go to the phones here. 404-872-0750, the number in the studio. Let's go to Perry, who joins us on the line. Perry, good morning. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Perry. Welcome to the show. Okay, Perry's no longer with us. Let's go to Bill, who joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Bill, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Hi, Wes. I have two questions. With the stock market where it's at right now, is this a good time to take the required minimum distribution? I don't need the money. And also, I'm 50% in cash, 40% in stock, 10% in bonds. Should I take the strictly cash or should I take a blend?
So you're saying, hey, can you actually just move out positions? Can you take your Coke stock hypothetically and pull it out, and that counts as a distribution?
Well, I have to take the required minimum distribution, like $20,000 this year, and I have the option of either taking it all cash or a blend of everything, or taking some from stock, some from bonds, some from you can't just pick stock. You have to either go all or just cash.
But again, I think that so a couple of thoughts here. So Bill's asking, hey, when you get to be 70 and a half, we all know that the government forces you to pull money out of your IRA, or traditional IRA, or a 401k if you're no longer working. And they do that to the tune of about 3.71% the first year. And then that ratio, the percentage of your IRA money goes up little by little every year. And they do that so they can collect their tax money. And but you're right, Bill, you can take cash, so money that's sitting in the money market of your invest of your IRA, or you can pull out actual stock to do it. And I don't, to some extent, I don't know if it really matters either way. If you're going to stay invested, then sure, just take individual positions. Just take stock and move it out of the IRA into an investment account and just leave it invested. If you're going to take cash, the question is, are you going, this is more of an investment question. The mechanics are fine. It doesn't matter either way. Either way, you're allowed to do stock or cash. The question really goes back to, should you be invested or not? And that's more of a question about your particular overall outlook. And should you be invested or not? So, and then getting back to the question, is it a good time of year to do it? If you stay invested, then does it matter? If the Dow's at 17,000 and you move money and you stay invested, then it doesn't matter if you do it today versus you do it when the Dow's at 14,000, right? Because either way, it's a hard number that the IRS makes you take. So the answer is, I would just get it out of the way. Here's what's important, that you do it. If you miss your RMD, it's a ridiculously large penalty, as you know. It's a 50% excise tax on your amount. So if you're supposed to take $20,000 out and you don't do it, you owe the IRS something like 10 grand. So I would just do it while you're thinking about it. Bill, you do not want to miss taking your RMD. And if you're going to stay invested, just go ahead and do the stock as the RMD. So that you stay invested. That's really what's important. 404-872-0750. Looks like Perry is back on the line with us. We tried to go. Perry, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
I tried to go to you earlier, and it looks like you had, maybe we got disconnected. What's going on? How can I help?
Yeah, I was listening to your show earlier, and you were talking about my generation wanting to kind of questioning investing. And my question for you is this, with the market being what it is, going up and down and up and down, why does it make sense to invest in 401k when the market's up if it's going to go down?
Well, speaking of, Perry, so when you say your generation, that's what? How old are you?
I'm 28 years old.
So does that, I guess that makes, are you a millennial, I guess that's what that makes you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never know when it turns over to a digital native. I guess you've got to be like 21, I think, and then you're even younger than a millennial, right?
Right. No, but I'm 28 years old.
Well, I'm curious. Answer me this quick question. I have an answer for you, but what is the attitude that you and your base, let's say, if you're 28, has about the market? Is it on a scale of 1 to 10? Market's a wonderful place to be as a 10. A one is it's the worst place to be in the history of the world. Where does the millennial or your group of friends, what number would you give it?
You know, it's kind of a mixed reaction. I would say that there's certain people, depending on their financial situation, who view the market as better. I view the market as somewhat stable, but there are times where I'm nervous, and there are times where, you know, I look at short-term opportunities as being more profitable in a sense, because if you put money into a stock that's worth less, but if you put more money into that stock and it's able to give you a return of, you know, if you put in like $6,000, you're able to get $500 to $1,000 each time investing in those stocks based on patterns and research, then it seems like that can make more sense in certain situations than if you're investing long term and you're losing thousands of dollars each year.
You know, you bring up a wonderfully important point, and this goes back to being your strategy as an investor. So you can be an investor and you're relatively have a short-term horizon, and people do make money that way, Perry. The Wall Street will propagate, and my opinion on it is that if you really want to make money over time, you've got to be a longer-term investor. So if you read The Millionaire Next Door as a wonderful book by the late Thomas Stanley, he'll tell you, or his research shows, that most people that get into the millionaire category, they've been investors for a long time, and they're really not traders. It doesn't mean that some traders, meaning short-term or even algorithmic traders, don't make money. But I will tell you that if you can do that consistently and actually make that work year after year after year, it's a really small fraction of a percent of people that can actually make that work. And if you can do that, Perry, then you might actually want to go into the investment business and be a hedge fund manager, and then you can really make money. But going back to your question, which is a really good fundamental one, why do you invest in a 401k? And it kind of goes back to, I was thinking about this weekend, that this Buffett quote, and Buffett can get away with anything. Anything he says turns into this wonderful quote, right? If I said, for 240 years, it's a terrible mistake to bet against America, now's not a good time to start, nobody would care. If Warren Buffett says it, it's headline news. But it means a lot because he has a track record for 60 years, for goodness sakes, of being the best investor that we've known in America. And he's the second richest guy in America. He's lived in his house for like 47 years. And he's worth $50-60 billion, depending on the day. But he would also tell you this. If you asked Buffett, and by the way, the reason I started thinking about this is one of my favorite, another quote of his is that, never ask a barber if you need a haircut. And I was thinking about real estate. You never ask a realtor if you should buy or sell a house. Never ask a surgeon, hey, should we operate, right? You know what the answer is going to be. But also, if you ask an investment guy, hey, should you invest? Most of the time you're going to get, yes, you should. And if you ask Buffett, is it a good time to invest? He'll tell you that it's always a good time to be an investor because the two are really different. And this is my point, and hopefully my takeaway from this, or your takeaway, Perry, is that the two questions are actually really different, which goes back to your question. Why do you invest today in a 401k? The answer is you do it with the thought, the mindset that you're going to be doing this for a long, long time. Now, and here's what I mean by that. So two words, invest versus investor. They're totally different time horizons. If you own a good business, and that's really what being an investor or is all about, yeah, I think it's always a good time to be an owner of a good business. Because if the business is solid and it grows, then it's going to be a bigger business and an even better business in 2 to 3 and 5 years. Now, if you talk about the word invest, so hey, Perry says, hey, Wes, is it a good time for me to invest in my 401k? That implies today. And you could be asking me the question when the Dow's at 5,000 whatever or 17,000 whatever. And invariably jumping in or out in the short run can make you look really smart or can make you look really stupid in a heartbeat, right? But to be invested, which implies a time horizon of a long time, and being an investor, it takes on a whole new meaning. And the meaning is that the best way to make money, Perry, over time is to be methodically persistent about dumping money in, yeah, when the market's up, but even more importantly, you're doing it on an automatic basis, so you're doing it when the market goes down. That's really, to your point, when you're going to make the most amount of money, is that if you methodically are putting away 10 or 15 or 18,500, 401k max is, whatever that number is for you that's comfortable, the best way to make that pile of money be a mountain in the future is to just continue to do it on automatic, whether the market's up or down. That's the key, is the persistence of doing it. So it's not about, is it a good time today to invest? It's about, it's always a good time to be an investor or be invested over time. You are listening to Money Matters, more of your calls and questions, news, weather, traffic, right here on WSB, straight ahead.
There's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Good morning. And we've got to go. Well, you know what? We've got to do this. In the 10 o'clock hour, we've got a lot of great calls on hold here. So coming up, questions about if you have parents that are older and you're worried about their care into their late 80s and their 90s, then we've got questions coming up about that. Questions about preferred stocks, Social Security and rules. How does that work? All coming up in the 10 o'clock hour here on Money Matters. I was looking at some of these housing quotes from this week. So by the way, good, not amazing, but let's give it a B+, A- jobs report this week. What happened to all the doom that we had at the beginning of the year? Where's the recession that got so much press in January? for the month of February. So job growth, payroll, employment numbers, up 242,000 people for the month of February. That's new jobs. And then there was a revision of an additional 30,000 jobs from the months prior. Unemployment rate still 4.9%. Labor force participation actually continues to tick up a little bit. We're almost at 63%. The not so great part, wages are down 0.1%. Work week shrunk just a little bit. So there's still plenty of wood to chop in the labor market. It's not sky is blue, sky is clear, but you know, these numbers are a long way from recession, despite what all the scary headlines say and all the books that are trying to sell you on fear say. The economy is still in okay shape. And again, that can always change in the next 3 to 6 months, and that's why we'll keep an eye on it. But as of now, recession is just, we're not in one, and we're not really even close to one at this point. All right, lots coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, calls about different investments, Social Security, how to take care of your parents, and the like, right here on Money Matters. Stay tuned. Until Labor Day, little man.